this quarterback movement, Todd. It's got to be tough for you to keep up with in terms of keeping the lines accurate.
It's mildly entertaining, to say the least, that the NFL we talked about as being the flagship sports organization in this country, even in the middle of college basketball's 3 weeks of glory, the NFL now overshadows it. You talk about the Saints. We had problems getting Saints bets in our futures market. Once Bounty Gate broke, now I imagine it's going to be an even bigger challenge to try and get anybody to back this team with the stiff penalties handed down today.
What was the evolution of the bet, or the move in the lines for Saints, like futures odds? Do you have a line right now?
We do have a lineup, Clay. We opened them at 9-1. We took them up to 12-1 about 10 days ago, and we probably have the highest odds in the city at this point. Now it's 15-1 on the Saints, but we haven't seen a whole lot of action leading up to it. And I can't imagine things will change at this point. What it does do, though, it makes the other teams in the South a lot more attractive for bettors. Fortunately for us, we don't actually have the division odds open for betting just yet.
All right, what about the impact, the Peyton Manning impact? We talked, we texted back and forth. We thought that he was going to come here. I know you got some action that would suggest that might have been the case as well out in Vegas. What did Broncos odds do with the addition of Tim Tebow?
We opened the Broncos odds and we set up our NFL futures boards at 60-1. The Broncos now sit at 10-1 at this point. I do imagine they'll come up a little bit once the initial swell of Peyton Manning love subsides. At this point, though, the Titans, we had them all the way down to 15-1. We'll continue to bump them up a little bit at a time, although they won't rise nearly as quickly, considering we did take some sizable wagers on speculators out there that Manning would end up as a Titan.
Well, I mean, with that being said, then, how much is emotion in put into the odds than the actual players then?
Emotion is a big part. When you talk about setting the futures market, Blaine, especially baseball, the greatest example. The Cubs right now we have listed at 12-1, which puts them sixth in all of Major League Baseball, despite having a win total of 73, which says they finish about 12.5 games out in their own division. So anytime there's a big story that breaks or there's a lot of public sentiment towards a big-name player, the general public is going to come in and try and double fit some of these sides. So as bookmakers, we have to respond accordingly.
You just said something that I thought was interesting. You said the Titans line got down to 15-1, and you had a lot of sharp money coming in, putting money on the Titans. Presumably those were people who believed that Peyton Manning was going to come. Talk about how you see that and how you adjust based on what sharp money is doing.
What we'll do for all the games, whether it be futures or even the NCAA tournament, for example, we can use Wisconsin, Syracuse, a prime example. Every dollar that comes in is not created equally. So typically, if we see the professionals or what we declare as sharper bettors moving on a particular side or total, we'll make adjustments. And that's what you'll see in a lot of these games during the NCAA tournament, where people go, well, 80% of the action is coming in on one side. Why don't you guys move the line? That's 80% of the public bets, not necessarily 80% of the dollars being bet on a particular side.
And that's a good question. So there were a lot of people, in addition to us, who were in the know, quote-unquote the know, that believed that that Peyton Manning may be coming to the Titans. Did you see any late money rush in on the Broncos that made you think, uh-oh, maybe the Broncos are a player here late before this Monday morning announcement came out?
In all honesty, it was probably one of the bigger surprises, because I talked to a lot of my colleagues around town, some that even had the props up where Peyton Manning will throw his next pass. They never saw Broncos money come in, which you figure would have come in on Sunday night because somebody had to know. Apparently, Rob Lowe didn't alert his sources out in Vegas to try and make a few bucks off of this movement.
Cool. With that being said, then, has the odds changed for the Jets with them getting Tebow?
Jets' odds will stay the same. I can't imagine anybody's going to make the Jets a much more attractive team for bettors. Although, given what's gone on in the last hour or two, apparently there's some snags with some contract issues.
Yeah.
But I think the Jets at between 18-20-1 is more or less where they'll stay until the season starts.
Let me ask you, you got another football?
Yeah, well, I was going to go into, did he talk about Sean Payton and them losing, and then Greg Williams with the Rams? How did that affect anything as far as them not having a head coach or not?
I think it'll really affect folks that normally would have come out and bet the Saints. Awfully hard to try and bet a team at this point to win the Super Bowl when you believe the whole organization is in flux. I imagine anyone who does see value in the Saints is going to wait as long as possible, because if we go a week, 2 weeks, or even longer without attracting any Saints money in the market, we're going to have to take those odds up to try and balance out our future book.
I want to go back to the Titans 15-1. I know you say that number probably is going to rise. I'm curious, had they landed Peyton Manning, what would that number have gotten to?
The number for the Titans probably would have resembled what we saw for the Broncos.
Okay.
You're talking about 10-1, figuring that the Titans all of a sudden become the second-best team in the South Division behind only the Texans, and an AFC that's wide open. That's part of the reason we had to do a lot more with Manning's involvement on the Broncos than if he'd been traded to the Niners, who are already listed at 9-1. I can't imagine we'd have dropped them much lower than that.
At Todd Furman on Twitter. Catch him on Twitter, at Todd Furman.
I was going to ask you a little bit about the college tournament, and I was wondering, did the odds change for UNC North Carolina with Kendall Marshall? I think that's his name, being out the point guard.
That's right.
North Carolina's been a tricky team to try and handle. When we address some of the odds to win the regional, we now actually have Kansas listed as the favorite because of the Kendall Marshall injury. I still believe North Carolina, if the two teams meet in the Elite Eight, will open as a slight favorite, but a lot will be determined by how they look against Ohio. The biggest impact that Kendall Marshall's potential absence has is actually in the total for the North Carolina-Ohio game. We projected that out to about 147.5 with him in the mix. It's been bet down to 143 at this point.
I guess I have last two questions. A buddy of mine, he went to Kansas. He wanted to know what's the odds for Kansas winning it all. And then lastly, what color has the biggest chance of winning the national championship? Because, you know, the reason why I say that, because I remember when Butler, or like 2 or 3 years ago, they always talk about a team in blue or something. It might have been green. I don't remember what color it was, but I wanted to say it was blue.
A lot of good teams in blue.
Right.
I'll tell you that.
So the odds of the color, is there some type of bet about the color of the team?
We don't actually have a prop on that. Kansas is listed at 6-1, but I think if you talk about blue, they'd probably be close to a $3 or $4 favorite when you talk about the Jayhawks, Tar Heels, and Kentucky still being probably the three biggest favorites on the board, since I don't actually think Syracuse gets through their Sweet 16 game against Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's a tough road. Beyond those three, then what are you looking at?
The odds start to drop quite a bit at that point. Florida and Marquette make arguably the most attractive mid-range long shots. Marquette listed at 15-1 right now. The Gators come in at 20-1. Michigan State is kind of that fourth team lurking. They're available at 6-1, although they'll have their hands full with a Louisville Cardinal team, who along with the Ohio Bobcats, the longest winning streaks in the tournament, with 6 games at this point.
Let me get you, Todd, with NHL, Stanley Cup, real quick. Predators get some great news. Alexander Radulov is in town. He actually led the warm-ups today before their workout. What are the odds for the Preds looking at the Stanley Cup with the addition of Rads?
A player like Rads won't move the needle all that much in the futures market, but any sharp hockey bettor knows how big an impact he can potentially have in this playoff race. Predators are now down to 15-1. The hard part is trying to figure out exactly how much to value this Blues recent surge. I mean, we've dropped them all the way to 7-2, still taking money, and we know the Blues match up extremely favorably with the Predators.
Where would the Preds rank now in the West? That would put them where in terms of odds of winning the West in terms of favorites?
The Preds rank right in the middle of the pack, Clay, so they're about fifth. The main favorites that you're looking at, St. Louis, far and away the leader right now. Vancouver right behind them, and then the Red Wings checking at third. And then there's a logjam with the Blackhawks, the Predators, and teams of that ilk.
Great work, Todd. Appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. One question. Do we have a prediction on the Middle Tennessee State-Minnesota game for the rights to go into the Garden?
What's the line on that game before we get predictions?
Middle Tennessee State is actually a 3.5-point favorite.
Wow, yeah.
So
I like them at home.
The Blue Raiders.
They're playing well, obviously. Yeah, I mean, they win. They go to New York. I think there's certainly some excitement there, talking to some middle people today. Tip off at 6:03, by the way, $10 ticket. So get on out there and see. I don't know, Todd. I guess we have to go homer here. Have to go Blue Raiders.
Yeah, we're all going Blue Raiders.
All right. We'll have to keep tabbing and see what we can do. But in the meantime, guys, enjoy the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about when all this Peyton dust settles on both sides of the fence.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate you, man. At Todd Furman on Twitter. We'll be right back. 3HL 737-1045-866-492-ZONE.